0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we hit the midweek point in Scottish Cup final week. It's another day though, another set of Steven Gerrard's name being heavily linked with the Rangers job. We're going to hear from Alistair Johnson and Jimmy Tilleen ahead of the Scottish Cup final. And Scotland will have to qualify for Euro 2028 despite being a host nation. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Ross McCormack and Marvin Bartley.
Yeah, there's still a lot to play for some teams. Gordon, as you said, Celtic and Aberdeen go head-to-head in the Scottish Cup final. You've got Ross County who are trying to stay within the Premiership, and Livingston are trying to take their place. Steven Gerrard, a name that I said at the start I thought Rangers want to go for, and it looks like that could be the case now as well. So yeah, listen, an awful lot going on. Never a dull moment in Scottish football.
Oh, there's certainly not. I think got to agree with Marvin there when he talks about Steven Gerrard being the name. I think it makes the most sense for Rangers. He's a big name for the prospective new owners coming in as well, so that would be good to see. But yes, looking ahead to, for me, Scottish Cup final, but also the Premiership playoff final. Absolutely. I'm really looking forward to that.
Yes, game. Give us a call then, 0141 951 1025. What is on your mind tonight? Another day passes, Rangers fans. Does your belief that Steven Gerrard will be the next manager strengthen? Or are you seeing other names that you think could come into the fold? And it feels like there's very little out there now to contradict this idea. There are a few other names, of course, doing the rounds, but it does feel like it's heading in either that direction, or maybe Russell Martin. Davide Ancelotti's name won't quite go away, but there's not much else out with that, it seems, at the moment. So how are you feeling about it all? When do you hope this reaches a conclusion? Could you see it happening by the end of the week? Are you looking into next week? Could you afford for it to go on much longer? Give us all your thoughts, please, on 0141 951 1025. It is the Scottish Cup final. It is one of the showpiece events of the Scottish football calendar. So I think Wednesday night's an appropriate time to give a gentle nod to that, Celtic fans. How are you feeling about it? Everyone on the outside will have it probably as a bit of a straightforward afternoon for Celtic. Is that the way you're feeling? Aberdeen fans, what about you? You're not going into it in good form, but it's a cup final. It's a one-off game. So how are you feeling about it all? We're going to hear from both camps. Any early team dilemmas that you're having? Does James Forrest, for instance, look at his impact at the weekend? Any issues there that you want to start dipping your toe into as we move towards the big game on Saturday? Please do give us a call, 0141 951 1025. As the guys have alluded to, it's the eve of the Premiership playoff final first leg. Who will be the 12th team in the top flight next season? Will it remain Ross County, or will it be Marvin's former club Livingston? Get your early thoughts there. We've still got big managerial vacancies, and you know what? It's been busy because it's been the end of the season. Not really heard from too many. We had a couple, but you Kilmarnock fans and Dundee fans, what are you thinking? Particularly Dundee, because first of all, let's react to Tony Docherty leaving, and then what comes next there. And Kilmarnock fans, you know, kind of happened all very quickly, and there was a couple of names doing the rounds, but then again, quieting down ever so slightly. So what are you thinking about those big managerial vacancies? 0141 951 1025. Give us a call right now. Send us a tweet at Clyde SSB, and please get in touch with the guys. I have to say, I liked your introduction there. Sort of almost try to take credit for suggesting Stephen Gerrard's name. Is that what I picked up from that?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah,
you mentioned it at the start and you think that could happen?
Yeah, you asked us a question at the start, didn't you? And you know, Roscoe kind of said about it there. I think he's a massive name in America with the new owners obviously coming from there. I think, you know, he's managed Rangers before, so he knows Scottish football as well. Obviously went down to Villa and then, you know, across to Saudi Arabia, which didn't work out for him. But, you know, I always thought he'd be a name that would be linked back with the job. You know, ultimately he's the only one that's won a title away from Celtic in recent years as well. So, yeah, he ticks a lot of boxes. I know a lot of Rangers fans weren't happy with the way he left the football club, but lots happened since then. So yeah, if you're new owners, you're going to look at somebody. I always thought Steven Gerrard would be one of the top three for them.
How are your legs feeling? Because we have spoken this week. You and I, Scott Allen, we had the good fortune of playing on Celtic Park at the start of the week. You took it very seriously, I have to say.
There's only one way to play, isn't there? And yeah, I did take it very, very seriously. But do you know what? The first thing that hit me when I stepped out on that pitch was how big it was. Like, you just forget.
This baffles me, right? Because it's easy for me to feel that way. But you guys only played on it a couple of seasons ago.
Yeah, I don't know. But honestly, good. When I stepped out there, I was like, wow, how am I going to get around this pitch? But no, it was good. My legs are very, very sore. And then I played yesterday for a kids charity, Edinburgh Hospital Kids Charity at Easter Road. And actually probably should have got sent off in that game. Because do you know what happened? Like, But this is not my fault, right? So a guy kicks me and like quite late with his tackle, a young guy. And I say to him, are you going to say sorry? And he's like, no. So I was like, oh.
Wait, yeah. Sounds like my type of guy.
5 minutes later, ball bounces over his head. I shout turn. That old chestnut, he turns. Took everything except for the ball. But yeah, listen, shit, and we lost.
Good guy. This guy's going to go back to his work the next day. Yeah. See when we played, honestly. It was I won't be too unfair, a gentle standard, shall we say, right? And I've included myself in that. A gentle standard. The poor guy who's out there, whoever he was, coming to play at Celtic Park. It's going to be one of the highlights of his amateur football career. He's playing up front. He's thinking he's going to get a goal. Every time he gets the ball, this big pest was all over him. You know, like tight, get as tight, if it was like go. A competitive game, like arms wrapped round him. And I thought, get give the guy a break.
No.
Did
no
you not try and spin him behind, no?
I didn't have the pace for that. There was no chance of that happening.
However, he did give away a penalty.
Yeah.
That summed you up, that, because you know what? It was just... But it's idiotic.
It's because it was Effie running through.
You just barged someone. Was it Effie Ambrose you barged?
No, I barged a guy into Effie.
You just
took
pushed
Effie
someone
out.
Right in the back for no reason because your head had gone and you gave away a penalty.
You took Effie out. Talking to Kilmarnock job though, I played a paddle with Nazy yesterday.
So his job interview wasn't yesterday then?
No, so we know
paddle
that.
With you. Good. There you see. Exclusives on the show tonight.
Yeah, he didn't mention too much about it though.
Did he not?
No, it was just normal football chat from him.
Did he have his Kilmarnock tracksuit on? That could be the giveaway.
He had the socks on though.
There you go. See.
Don't want to start rumours, but...
Exclusive Kilmarnock fans. Give us a call, 0141 951 1025. We've got various big managerial vacancies. Ross, I mean, he didn't even mention the likes of Partick Thistle. There's loads of jobs to be filled at the end of the season.
I'd be very surprised if Mark and
Brian
don't get that job.
Really?
Yeah, I think they've done a great job getting to the playoffs. Mm. And I was listening to a couple of comments as well, I think Brian said it'd be hard for him to go back into the mm-hmm. change room if he doesn't get the job now. So I think that would be two big blows for the club if they don't get the job. And then also Brian
not being able to play next season.
Yeah, yeah, so I think. But the Dundee one, listen, I expected a bit of a managerial go around, to be honest, this summer, but I didn't expect it to happen this quick. I was surprised with a Tony Docherty one. Mm-hmm. I really was. I really enjoy watching Dundee. They've probably been up there with. Probably with Celtic, most entertaining for me in the league. Always goals in their games, they always have a right go. I love watching Simon Murray as well. So I'm surprised by that one, but I think that's two good jobs for managers to go for, Kilmarnock and Dundee.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's get stuck in on the phones, 0141 951 1025. Graham is on the line. How are you, Graham?
All right, good, how are you?
Not bad. What are you thinking tonight?
I'm just thinking that I don't know what Gerrard's done to deserve to be mentioned for us job, mate. See, when he was here the last time, one trophy in 3 years. Callum Davis, two cups the same year he won the league. We'd nowhere near the budget. So what's the, how is he in, sacked at Villa, sacked at in a week, a non-competitive Saudi. What's he done to deserve this? He shouldn't be anywhere near it.
The Rangers fans do seem pretty split on this, and it's all the same arguments you keep hearing. People in Graham's camp keep mentioning this stat, one, you know, one trophy in nine, or Callum Davidson, one more. And then other people who I'm sure we'll now hear from to disagree with Graham say, yeah, but we were a real shambles when he took over, and then the standards were raised, and then yeah, it was one title, but it was the most important one, and they were turned into a decent force in Europe and so on. So which way do you two lean?
Interestingly, I was listening to I think it was Andy Halliday the other night, was saying that he feels as if Rangers were further away from Celtic when Gerrard took mm-hmm. the job the first time. I can get on board with that. I kind of see what he's... Mm-hmm. Listen, I know probably the points gap's massive this year, but in terms of...
Because they finished third. But, yeah. You know, forget mm-hmm. the second points gap. They finished third before he came.
But I think for me, being able to compete with Celtic, I think this season's shown that the Rangers squad can. So I don't really know what's going on with the squad in terms of how they can't beat everyone else. I think I don't think it would take an amazing manager to walk through the door at Rangers and be able to beat every other team in the SPL. And they've shown that they can compete with Celtic, but... I think everyone's forgetting as well how big a title it was that Gerrard actually won at Rangers. It was huge for them. And people are just sort of in my eyes, not sweeping it under the carpet, but forgetting about it a little bit just based on probably how he left the club.
I think Rangers have had a real way of playing as well under Gerrard. The season before, they actually went on to win the title. You know, he had them playing some really, really good football. And out there as players, you always see it, the way they were rotating, et cetera, et cetera. I think they had a style about them. And I think that's something that's gone away. I think under Clermont, you didn't really see a style. Rangers would win games of football, but you wouldn't know how they were going to play or approach games. It seems like players were playing off the cuff. And you're asking big players to perform in big moments. That's obviously continued under Barry Ferguson because they've not got the amount of wins that they needed to get. And as Roscoe said, I think when Rangers play Celtic, those games take care of themselves in terms of motivation and going out there, and Rangers have done well recently in terms of playing Celtic, the head-to-head games. It's against the other teams. And anyone will tell you, if a team doesn't have a style, it's a lot easier to defend against them because they don't really know what they're doing. So it's easier for you, kind of you to stop. When you play against Celtic, you know what Celtic are going to do, but they just wear you down. They move the ball from side to side and they've constantly got forward runners. So, yeah, I think Gerrard makes sense. I know Graham isn't too on board with it and saying, like, what's he done? But how many titles have Rangers won since Gerrard left? And who do you want, Graham, then, as manager? Who would be for you?
I'll take Ancelotti's boy.
Based on?
I know they say he's no... Well, look where he's worked, Bayern Munich, Real Madrid. Look who he's worked with.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying he's no experience. What was Smith had no experience? He was an assistant manager.
Yeah.
What he done?
I wasn't against Ancelotti one. When it first came out, I was with you in terms of... You know, I said as long as the structure's there at Rangers for him to come in and be a head coach rather than a manager and... You know, the players were kind of going to be brought to him for maybe him to decide. I wasn't totally against that either. So, yeah, Ancelotti won, I'm not totally against. But, you know, if the board are looking at someone who knows Scottish football in terms of who's been in Scottish football, then Gerrard probably, you know, goes slightly ahead of him.
So, Graham, so did you not like Steven Gerrard at the end then of his previous time? Did you think he wasn't doing a good job? Did you want rid of him when he left?
No, but the way he left, are you happy? I'm happy. Do I look happy? I know his time he knew he was away.
That's Ryan Porteous then.
That was like the old Ryan Porteous parody one. So hold on though, but which is it then? But those are different things because you've got, I don't want him back because I don't think he's a good enough manager to justify the job, or is it he walked out on you and that's left a bit of a bad taste? Because those are different, aren't they?
I don't think he's a very good manager. Maybe he'd done, he failed at Villa.
No, but that's
easy to do, Graham.
Steven Gerrard and Ross McCormack have what in common? Because look, that emotional bit of fancy, I don't want him back because the way he left. I don't think anyone can like tell you any otherwise. Then, you know, if that's the way you feel, that's the way you feel. But that to me seems very different from is somebody a good manager.
It's this whole argument of the lack of experience. I don't think being inexperienced as a manager probably makes a big difference. But what I think does make a difference, and I'm sure you said it, maybe it was at the start of the week or last week, Gordon, when Scottish football is a little bit unique. It's definitely unique in the sense that whatever manager comes here, if he's not been under this kind of pressure and spotlight which Celtic and Rangers put on you, then you could crumble. I think that's the big thing for me. It's not in terms of, oh, but this manager's got more experience. It's not that. They've been put in pressure environments. Mm-hmm. You're not really, you don't feel the heat really when, like for talking sake, Ancelotti, you're an assistant manager or you're working with your dad or whatever. He'll take most of the flack. Whereas Steven Gerrard's probably, you think it's not went well at Aston Villa, I can guarantee, because I've had it as well. He would know all about that from the fans, and he's done it at Rangers as well. So I think that probably feeds more into the Steven Gerrard getting the job than Ancelotti and possibly someone else.
Graham, sort of, I'm trying to get the strength of your feeling on this, because you don't want Steven Gerrard. Would you be proper angry if it was him? You know, are you at that stage, or would you just be a bit disappointed?
No, if they appoint them, I'm obviously going to go and support them. But we'll just be waiting for one bad result, mate, and it'll be, we should never have brought him back. We'll go with that kind of an inward heat. We'll just be waiting for him to make one mistake and we'll be on him. And it wouldn't be fair to him either, would it?
But that would happen with any manager, though. If someone's going to a mindset of a football match and saying, but Ancelotti, some people, like you, for example, Graham, you want Ancelotti to come in, but there'll be other fans who want Gerrard rather than Ancelotti. So they'll be saying, the first time you lose a game, they'll be like, oh, he's too inexperienced. We said we shouldn't have him at Rangers. That's part and parcel of it. That's what Roscoe's talking about, the pressure. You know, people are always going to judge you on the back of one bad result domestically. You know, if you lose to anyone outside of, even lose to Celtic, but anyone outside your arch rivals, it's seen as a massive disappointment. Gerrard's been here and done that. Yes, he's gone to Villa. Yes, he's gone to Saudi after that. But ultimately, he's a better and more experienced manager this time than he would have been last time.
He's definitely more experienced. How do you know he's better, though?
Well, he's better for the experience. Yeah. I mean, he's
not
gonna,
always. Is that a guarantee, though?
But come on, he's going to learn from the past.
No, listen, I know what you mean, but if that's the case, then that means that like every manager just continually gets better throughout their career, and I just don't know if that's the reality.
Yeah, they get more experience.
Yeah, no, but that's maybe what I mean.
He'll be more experienced than he was the last time that he was here. And ultimately, he's won a title here, so he knows what it takes to win a title. I know people say it's a COVID season and everything else.
Would it have made any difference, do you think, that would it have like enhanced, because there clearly are some fans who are not impressed or whatever, do you think it would be easier to get on board with for those people if he had gone on and done something more positive since he left Rangers? Because as an example, and I know everything comes back to this, people will say, you know, well, Brendan Rodgers, he failed at Leicester, but I mean, he didn't really, did he? Won an FA Cup and finished fifth twice, so it's not like you got a worse version of Brendan Rodgers back. You didn't get, do you know what I mean? It's not like his reputation had gone downhill or anything since his first spell.
Yeah, but see, for me, looking at this Rangers squad, right, see, Marvin hit the nail on the head there. Celtic games and European games take care of themselves. You can get up for them, no problem. For me, it shows a little bit of a, not a lack of respect from the players, but something sort of similar to that. I think Rangers need a manager who walks through that door on day one and commands the respect of them players. Because if them players respect the manager and get on board with them, there's good players there. There's no two ways about it. There is some good players. Whereas if a sort of inexperienced manager goes in and all of a sudden day one and day two, day three, their training sessions, the players don't think's great, then they'll just unfortunately not be on board with them.
Okay, Graham's not happy. What do you think out there? 01419511025. It's a good time to call. We will get you on next.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Ross McCormack are here. Give them a call. Celtic fans, Aberdeen fans, we're a couple of days out from the cup final. How are you feeling? What are the early thoughts at this stage in the week? Give us a call, understandably, because there's a lot of speculation. It seems like most of the calls so far are about the managerial vacancy at Ibrox. Let's go to Jordan and get his take. Jordan, how are you doing?
Hi, even gents, how you doing? Even Ross, even Marv.
All right, buddy.
Good, thanks.
So the previous caller, he was talking about Gerrard shouldn't be allowed anywhere back near the club. So I wasn't originally in Camp Gerrard. I was similar to the previous caller. But the final three seemed to come down to Russell Martin, David Ancelotti and Steven Gerrard. Ancelotti, I think there would be a language barrier there which could create issues. I don't believe Russell Martin's good enough for the job. I think he would crumble under the pressure. So the best of the three candidates is Gerrard. Now, people are forgetting that some of the signings that Gerrard brought in during his tenure at Rangers, he brought Jermaine Defoe, he brought Alan McGregor, he brought Scott Arfield, people that played big parts in bringing characters to the squad and developing younger players and pushing us over the line when we needed it. They also played a big part in when he left the club. So I think there's a lot of people like not really looking into what Gerrard done well while he was with us. He did say, I will not be at the club under that board. They didn't fix the roof while the sun was shining. So there's a new board now, hence the reason why I believe he's eager to get back in the door. What do you think?
Just quickly, Jordan, when you said, you know, he's the best of those three, Is that enough for you, though? You know, he's the best of those options. Would he be your preferred candidate overall, you know, if you had the choice of kind of anyone within reason?
Well, I trust Thelwell's probably sounded out a few other candidates in these three. I wouldn't like Dyche, some of the other people that have been banded about. I mean, I probably would have taken Derek McInnes. I know that's a bit left wing, but I mean, now he's at Hearts, so we can't do that. So yeah, I think Gerrard probably was the best candidate for the job.
It's hard to argue with that, Jordan, to be honest with you.
Out of those three names, then, that's what
certainly
what
out
you
of
would
them
go
three,
for.
And I totally agree with what he said about Dyche. Now, I'm not saying he's a bad manager, but for me, he's not what Rangers needed. I think Sean Dyche has probably spent a lot of his time fighting against relegation, whereas you come up here and you're expected to win every single game. You've got to be a little bit more expansive. It's unknown if he's got that in his locker or not. Gerrard, for me, is the he's the one. He's been here before. He's done it. Marv spoke about experiences before. You'll be hoping that he comes back an even better manager based on them experiences. Russell Martin, yes, he's got a good style of play. I've watched his team lots at Southampton. Didn't happen for him too much in the Premier League, but... he's a good young manager.
What do you make of that? Because it feels like two very different challenges. Trying to manage Southampton in the English Premier League should be on paper a lot harder than trying to manage Rangers in the Scottish Premiership. Does that make sense? Just in terms of where those clubs sit. So does your style of play, whilst it might be, you know, found out, as people say, or naive or whatever, if you're Southampton in the English Premier League, might that same style though actually work okay if you're Rangers and you're one of the dominant teams?
Yeah, but I feel as if with Russell at Southampton, he'll probably get a little bit more leeway. He'll be allowed a few defeats and to take a thumping now and then, but like we spoke about before, as soon as you get one defeat and it's outside Celtic, then, you know, people are calling for your head.
I don't think Rangers have the players to play the way that Russell Martin would have wanted to play as well. You know, I just listed it when Jordan said about the final three. I got Gerrard 1, Ancelotti 2 and Russell Martin 3, just because I don't believe there's players within that squad who are still under contract can play the way that he wants to play at Southampton or the way he played at Southampton. You know, so yeah, Gerrard for me would have been number 1 as well for the, you know, the reasons I've said about as well. But speaking about it during a break, I think his backroom staff are going to be absolutely vital to whatever he does going forward, because he seems to be more of a man manager than the person out there on the grass and setting up the sessions, etc. So that's going to be really, really important. But I imagine the people at Rangers have got a structure there that will work for him. He knows who he's going to bring in, and they're happy with that.
Jordan, what are you feeling about the time frame of all this? Are you getting anxious? Are you getting a bit keen for this to move very quickly, or still relaxed? How would you describe it?
I'm getting a bit anxious now. I think we need to get it announced so we can try and make some signings, start arranging pre-season, get a bit of stability around the club. Because right now it's all up in the air. Nobody seems to know what's happening, whether it be with the takeover, whether it be with the manager. And can I say one other thing? Marvin mentioned the backroom staff. Please do not let him bring Michael Beale with him. If that's the one thing they're struggling to get over the line at the moment, well, I'm happy for that. They can struggle all they want, but let's not have Michael Beale back in the door again. I think that his time at Rangers is well and truly done.
If he had as much influence as a number two as Andy Halliday and every other ex-player who was there at that time tells us, would you not be willing to kind of swallow it all and make it work again?
Nah, I mean, the rumour that the gentleman on the phone last night, I think he said Jordan Henderson and Steve Davis. I read that in the paper today. I don't know if that was off that guy's call, but I believe they two could do probably a better job than what Michael Beale did. I think Davis did work under Beale as well, so he would have learned something. Can I ask Marvin one quick question before I go?
Of course.
Red sauce or brown sauce on the long top?
Do you know what? There's been a mix-up, sort of, and he's not even tried it yet, Jordan, but I'm going to try and sort that before the end of the night. I think it's something we should do live on here. Thank you very much,
mate.
Jordan, on 01419511025. I do love the Michael Beale aspect to all this, because it would feel ridiculous, right, for him to come back in. It just would, from the kind of the outside. But again, the level of input he apparently had the first time, if your reason for wanting Steven Gerrard back is because you think he did a good job the first time, either you stomach it and accept Michael Beale coming back, or you accept that first spell is actually not then relevant, because the whole department might look entirely different.
Well, that's the problem with it. And listen, I know Michael Beale failed as a manager when he was Rangers kind of number one, but in terms of him coming back as a backroom staff, you know, I'd be very interested. And it looks like all fans are on the opinion they don't want him back within the football club. But just for them to be successful, and as you said there, that's the way Gerrard works at his best, was having Michael Beale by his side. Then, you know, if it's about winning or not letting Michael Beale back in, which of the two would they choose?
And like I say, it doesn't have to be that, because I accept that is all a bit bizarre and it might be an issue for the Rangers fans. But can we at least acknowledge then, Ross, that if it isn't him, it there's sort of less of a guarantee. There are no guarantees anyway, but there's much less of a guarantee that Gerrard's second spell looks like Gerrard's first spell, if that's the reason you want him back.
Yeah, listen, it was obviously a massive part. Everyone speaks about how much he'd done on the training field, how much his setup was implemented while Steven Gerrard was there. And listen, the fact of the matter is, if Steven Gerrard wants Michael Beale to be his number two, these owners will go and get him as his number two, and the Rangers fans will have to swallow it, simple as.
And listen, winning games of football changes people's opinions, doesn't it? Like, people will be up in arms if they're really upset about him coming in.
It would feel weird.
It would, but football's about winning. So if you're Steven Gerrard and you've got an opportunity to come back in, and some people are already doubting you, you're saying, hang on, no, I want to go with the staff members that I think is going to give me the best chance of winning games of football. And if I do win games of football, or I do win competitions, it's all quickly forgotten.
Imagine it.
There'll be a few new Twitter accounts to follow.
Mate, you know what? I just saw a picture. Someone's done something. They've given Michael Beale like a ponytail, mate, and said that's the new assistant manager coming in
a disguise.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's bring in William and get his take on it. On you go, William.
Hello, Gordon, Marvin and Ross.
Hello mate. Well,
yeah, for me, it's definitely Gerrard, and I'm going to give you the reason why, right? He's a bigger name than any of the candidates that's left, right? And in my opinion, they're all talking about these guys are coming on. Like, we're all disappointed they left for Aston Villa, right? But in my opinion, if he never left, he would have won his second title, because he left Van Bronckhorst with a 7-8 point lead, and we weren't even playing that well at that time, and we're still to hit our straps. So that would have been two titles in a row, and that's my opinion. And the guy had a good point before me. He brought on, remember, Bassey, Aribo, Kamara, he brought in Arfield, McGregor, he brought in all these players, Kent, people like Morelos is already there and he developed him. You know what I mean? So he's a global name, big profile to the Scottish League. You know what I mean? He's a big name. And plus the fact, the spicy thing for you guys is him and Rodgers don't get on. And that's what pleases a lot of Rangers fans, what happened at Liverpool at the end. So there's another one you can add into the mix.
I think Kamara as well. You speak about players who he's made better. I think Glenn Kamara under him was fantastic, and you kind of saw he lost his way when Gerrard left. He started playing higher up the pitch, etc. So, you know, you're definitely right, William. You know, people always speak about, you know, good coaches come in and make better players better, and they also, you know, recruit really, really well. I think he did both of those two things. I think the, you know, some Rangers fans or the ones that don't want him back is just about the way he left. But as I said, you quickly get over that. If he comes in, you start winning games of football. Like you said, he ticks a lot of boxes. Global star, he's been in Scottish football before, all of those things.
Do you know what I love about the, and we'll put this back to William as well, it feels like they're so obviously a counter-argument for everything that gets mentioned. The pro-Gerrard camp says, most important title ever, or whatever. The anti-Gerrard camp says, it was 1-9. You know, it's in the exact same theme. William says he'd have won two in a row if he'd just stayed, he was going to win that season. Other people say, ah, but he would have been sacked before the season that he won, because when COVID hit, they lost to Hamilton, they were booed off, they'd been put out of the cup by Hearts. I think, was there a draw against St Johnstone? It was like a 3-game domestic run, and people say that, you know, he would have been sacked if that hadn't come along and saved them. So speculation on both parts, I guess.
Yeah, that's just the nature of the beast in Scotland. That's what I was talking about earlier about a manager coming in. It doesn't matter if you've had experience as a manager. The big thing is having experience of being in this, you know, this goldfish bowl, which is Glasgow, where anything you do is scrutinised. And if you lose one game, you're in trouble.
See, if you're just a really good manager, though, or you've got a really good team, can you just overcome that stuff? Like Ange Postecoglou is always the one you just sort of mention, don't you? People... We had calls exactly like that. Oh, yeah, okay, he's done this, he's done that, but can you handle Glasgow? And I get that it is important, but I wonder if we overlook the fact that just get somebody who's a really good manager.
I don't think a lot of people have, you're speaking about Ange there, like Ange doesn't care what people think. You know, he's one of those who came in, didn't care what people thought about him, he had a way of playing, and he was going to do it no matter what. You're seeing the same thing at Tottenham. So I don't think there's many managers out there, or very few people out there, who don't take in, like you're saying there, Roscoe, the pressure that comes from the outside. He doesn't care, puts enough pressure on himself. So Gerrard, having been here before, whether he had that about himself or not at the start, he's been here, he understands it. He knows the scrutiny that he's going to come under, and he knows that there's a massive appetite for Rangers to win trophies. So, you know, all of those things, he ticks those boxes. He's less of a risk for me than the other two names who were linked to it as well.
Would either of the other two float your boat, William? Ancelotti or Russell Martin?
No, definitely not. Russell Martin, you get empty seats at Ibrox now. He'd be empty in the place after 2 months, you know what I mean? It's not for me, definitely. Ancelotti, I do agree with the point that he could come in and he could be a good coach in the part, or and then you could be a manager. I'm not sure. No, Gerrard's definitely the name. He's got the kind of X factor. I think a lot of Celtic fans they wouldn't admit it. I think they wouldn't want Gerrard back because I know he could serve it up to them because he's won the league. He went invincible. You've got to remember that he won the whole league invincible. That means he can do it.
Thank you, William. Interesting. We're getting round the arguments. Are we any closer? Well, presumably we're closer to finding out, but I feel like it needs to hurry up. We're at the mad stage. We've got people's hairdressers and where they are and where they aren't, and private plates getting photographed in restaurants in Partick and getting run through databases. It's all getting a bit much. So do give us a call. Celtic fans, Aberdeen fans, we're about to look at the cup final. Let's do it. I know there's a lot being said about the managerial vacancy, but it's Wednesday. Saturday is the cup final. It's getting closer. So do give us a call, please, right now on that, because we're going to take a look. But let me tell you about this first. Imagine heading into Scottish Cup final weekend £534,000 better off. That is the reality for someone. It might as well be you. For your chance to win 100, in fact, for your chance to get 100 entries into the draw, text BANK to 61025. Texts are £10 plus your standard network rate. For one entry, you can text YES to 61025. Texts are £250. Plus your standard network rate as well. Or you can call 03434 269 340. And the calls are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only. All the rules for this Rail Network competition are at makemeawinner.co.uk. Lines close 5pm Friday. £534,000. Text YES to 61025.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Ross McCormick and Marvin Bartley are here. 0141 951 1025. Sometimes see this week where the season's kind of finished and everybody's getting settled into the idea of season being over, albeit we've got the cup final, these phone lines can quieten down, I'll be honest. But my goodness, see when there are managerial vacancies on the go, red hot as always. So apologies if it's taken a while to get through. Let's hear from some of those involved in the cup final this weekend. Let's start Celtic. Alistair Johnson says they are fired up for the game at the weekend and believes James Forrest could have a big say at the National Stadium.
You told me at the beginning of the season that you're going to do the first two trophies, win the league, win the other cup, and then be in the Scottish Cup final. You shake your hand for that right now. It's a chance for a treble, and that's what we started the season wanting. We're expecting them to come out full throttle, leave it all on the line, and we're going to be ready for that as well, whether it's 90 minutes, 120. We've had some great, you know, cup final matches since I've been here. You can feel the sense of occasion when there's a trophy on the line. So, yeah, we're going to be ready for that. But you would not bet against him doing something to the right hand. You're exactly right. And that's the thing, is that he's not here as a token player just because, you know, he should get a stature out front. No, it's not like that. He is here because he still adds something to this team. He provides such a different kind of profile on the wing than what we currently have. There's a reason why the gaffer trusts him in really big moments to come on when something's not going our way.
You know, team players just like so comfortable speaking like that. That sounded like somebody hosting a TV broadcast of a football match. It's just, he's an incredible talker. Anyway, that's not really why not anyone cares about that stuff. That's just sad ones like me who look at that sort of thing. Let's go to Paul, who's on the line. How are you, Paul?
I'm good, Gordon. With my always got a commercial angle, I can't believe Marvin, I tried to get my clothing range, but I thought you might have got him a sponsorship with Chapman the Butcher.
Well, listen, look, we're working on it. So we made some dietary requirements that weren't quite ticked off last week. So we're working on it, and we're going to see if we can. So you just further, because everyone's been asking, you've still not tried square sausage.
No, still not tried it. Can't find the right ones.
See, when you guys say something on the show, you just can't escape it then, can you?
The amount of people who have like messaged me honestly about it has been quite incredible.
Like, it's just anything you say. So I don't know, I'm assuming you were listening last night because you're all such big fans of the show. Never miss it. Scott Allen, your old pal, made a bit of a... He almost made a slip up. Let's just say he almost got the name of the 49ers wrong.
Oh.
What number?
Well, you add 20 on, right? He nearly said it, and I managed to dive in and save him.
I'd have left him to it.
And then I actually was in the gym today. He goes to the same gym, and I overheard someone coming up to him and say, "You can't, there's no hiding place on this show." Sorry, Paul. Let's talk football then.
I don't think it's any coincidence that he was on with Gordon DL.
Well, there is that. Less said about that, the better.
I'm not finishing my commercial plugs yet. And sorry, Ross, I've been waiting a while for this, mate. You've been brilliant on the show. But I've got an electric gate manufacturer who wants to sponsor you.
Do you know what? It might be the first time you've had that shout on here, so we don't mind that.
To be fair, it looks as if I've been sponsored by a butcher anyway, so I'll take that.
Oh, right, that was it. That's you. You've used up your quota, Paul.
Sorry,
come on.
I digress. So, other butchers are available. So, I just think the cup final is not a given. I think when you get complacency and overconfidence in sport and life, it's just as if just another treble. I think it desensitises, as Callum McGregor talks about, the achievement. And I just, not to be a Jonah, but I just don't think it's just a case of Celtic turning up. It's just a feeling that Aberdeen have to win at some point. I think it's 19 games or something they went without beating Celtic.
I mean that kind of, I get where Paul's coming from, because would any of us predict Celtic to lose the cup final? I don't think so. But are Celtic just like never going to be on the end of a cup shot until the end of time? I mean that can't happen. Yeah. So
yeah. No, I agree with that. But this Celtic team, as Paul said there, you know, one day Celtic are just going to try and turn up. They don't do that in big games domestically. It's just not something that you can pin on this team, you know, whether it's under Brendan Rodgers or Ange before him, where they just turn up when it comes to massive, massive games. Don't get me wrong, I've had a slip up against St. Johnstone, but they're already miles ahead in terms of the league. They don't just turn up. You know, these are the ultimate professionals in this country. Mm-hmm. You know, not just because they're good football players, but their mentality is something, you know, unbelievable at that football club. And that's what everyone else is trying to get to that level. Not only ability, but the way they go about their business day in, day out, week in, week out. I just can't, you know, other than it being, listen, a game of football, 90 minutes, 120 minutes, whatever it might be, anything can happen. I don't give Aberdeen much of a chance at all, because this Celtic team are rampant. And you just heard Alistair Johnson speak there. This is another treble. This is a huge, huge game for those football players.
Ross, if we're talking cup shock for Celtic, do you feel like it has to sort of come in the early rounds, you know, away from home, that sort of thing? You know, the Kilmarnock, that wasn't a massive shock because of where it was, but, you know, Kilmarnock beat them previously as an example.
Yeah, I think when it gets to the business end, this team have shown that they turn up time and time again. Marvin hit the nail on the head there. It's such a big game for Celtic as well, because it's another treble. I'm the same. I can't see anything other than a pretty convincing, to be honest, Celtic win.
It's maybe one that will pick up pace when the game gets closer, Paul, but I don't mind starting it early. Is man of the moment James Forrest start the game?
I think so. I think Hamden, you know, he's wide open spaces, and I think he just looked. I think as long as James Forrest's fit, then he's always going to make a contribution. And you know, Saturday was a pretty emotional day for a lot of Celtic fans. My late brother was a brilliant fan of James Forrest through, because he got a lot of sick off of Celtic fans through the years. He's not always been a firm favourite. So for him to win them over and do what he did was just lift, which was, because I said at the beginning of the season Celtic would can't with the league, and you've almost got the onset of, you know, complacency because of that. But Saturday did certainly put Peter. Can I make another quick point, Gordon?
Just quickly, I'll put that to the guys. See roughly where James Forrest scored from on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Is that not where you gave your penalty away in the game that we played on Monday? I genuinely think it was pretty
I've
close.
I've brought that out of my mind, that penalty.
I think it was
bringing it up. Yeah, it might have been. Might have been that sort of area.
What do you think? I mean, he's got. I think he's. It's almost 10. Is it about 8 or something? That ballpark goals against Aberdeen throughout his Celtic career. He would be. Would you put it past him getting the nod? I still think it's Nicholas Kuhn.
Yeah, for me, Nicholas Kuhn's going to start. I think Forrest is a brilliant player, definitely a brilliant squad player, and someone who can come on and make an impact. I just think when you look at, you know, Celtic in wide areas, for me it'd be Maeda one side and Nicholas Kuhn the other, with either going through the middle. But listen, definitely has the potential to come off the bench and change things up. You know, as Paul said there, when things weren't going right at the weekend, he comes on, he scores a goal. But for me, Nicholas Kuhn would get the nod.
Not for me. I'd be playing the two of them. If it was me picking that front three, I would have Maeda through the middle, Forrest on the left, Kuhn on the right.
Fair enough. Make it snappy, Paul, if you can, but go for your other point.
No, I just the kind of narrative around the whole 49ers takeover. I noticed that they've got
They've got more investment in their US parent, if you like, which makes them, you know, a colossal world brand. But there doesn't seem to be anything happening. And just, we're in season book season, season ticket selling season. Steven Gerrard's the obvious poster boy. Things like Oscar Cortez's transfer, there's $4.5 million due for him. It just seems to be a kind of a bit of a fanfare when there's nothing, absolutely nothing's nailed on yet.
Do you think Andrew Kavanagh, like, do you think he would go to the hassle of turning up at so many Rangers games just to sell a few more season tickets at a club that's already got a quite a lengthy season ticket waiting list? Doesn't really make sense, though, does it?
I don't know. I mean, it depends what, I mean, companies of that size will have done their market research on how disgruntled the fans are.
They are, obviously, but we sometimes dramatise that. There is not, it's not like Rangers are going to go next season and have 10,000 fewer season ticket holders. People shout about how angry they are and stuff, and they get it. Rangers got a massive waiting list for season tickets, so it won't make any difference.
But that's my point, though, from the point of view that if the takeover doesn't happen, then the tickets are already sold and the fans have been reeled in again.
But that's what I mean. To what point does Andrew Kavanagh, you know, that sort of whatever he's got going on and makes a lot of money doing his thing? Is he turning up?
It's of no benefit to him.
Repeatedly at Rangers games, sell season tickets that would be sold anyway.
That's the thing. If this takeover talk had never ever happened, Rangers, like you said there, Gordon, are going to sell out their allocation of season tickets next season, regardless. Because yes, as football fans, they'll be angry with the way the season's gone and, you know, the games that they failed to win in and everything else. But they're still going to buy the season ticket. So there's no way that these people are turning up to the game for the benefit of their health, flying, you know, from America to come across to Scotland to watch Rangers play just to try and sell season tickets for ultimately what you're saying, a club that they won't never own. That's just not going to happen.
Now let's hear from the other side on the cup final. Paul was giving us his thoughts on how it will go, and we're talking about some of the team lineups and all the rest of it. Let's hear from Jimmy Tillin looking ahead to the final at Hampden on Saturday.
Football is an incredible sport. It's not every year you're in the final. I think it was 7 years last time you were in the Scottish Cup final. And it's always trying to enjoy this moment, to try to catch this moment. It's a final. Of course, we learn things from that game. But it's also a final. It's a different kind of game than in the league. And when you feel the spirit among the players that also want looking forward to the game, and you can feel the belief among the players. So that's in the past. Now it's the final, only thing we can see in front of us.
Aberdeen go into this on the back of four consecutive losses, and they've conceded a lot of goals in that time. However, if the conversation we were having before is that any Aberdeen win would kind of have to be a bolt from the blue, freak result anyway, does that damage them? Or do you see what I mean by that?
Because if
they were in good form, you guys would still just say it's a Celtic win unless something mad happens.
But it's such a big showpiece event that I think the damage that it could do to that squad going forward if they go and... Listen, I know they get beat 6 in the semi-final, but Scottish Cup final, yes. If they go and take a thumping...
I think it could be a doing?
I'll be honest with you, I think.
Do you?
Yeah, I'd be surprised if it wasn't 3 or 4.
I think Cup finals are... It can be hard to predict, Marvin, because... Well, look at the Celtic-Inverness final, just as an example. That was a really good, free-flowing, attacking Celtic team who played Inverness, with no disrespect, in a cup final. And it just wasn't like that. That's not to say this one won't be, because it has no bearing, but just a sort of reference point to show that the perceived gap between sides maybe doesn't always play out.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. But I just think the difficulty you have from that Aberdeen squad is I think they lack massive, massive confidence. This is not the Aberdeen team we're talking about that started the season absolutely flying, then suddenly going into a cup final. They've been really struggling. You said, is it 4 defeats in a row they've had in the league? I don't think they know their best team. You know, we talk about Celtic, who's going to play maybe the front three. There might be one change, Forrest or Kuhn. We don't have no idea who's going to play for Aberdeen. I don't think that helps at all when you're going into a cup final. You're not sure where you're really at in terms of who's going to be next to you, and they're lacking a lot of confidence. I agree with Roscoe. I think Celtic could really put them to the sword on Saturday.
Thank you again to Paul, the final caller there. There's plenty of time left for you to wade in on the cup final or any of the other talking points, the managerial vacancies that are going, the playoffs tomorrow, loads out there. But let's do this first.
Beat Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, it's Beat the Pundit time. Remember, you're running out of opportunities. The season in its current format on Clyde One Super Scoreboard is almost done, which means only a couple of Beat the Pundit opportunities left. Chaos last night over the population of Motherwell. Who knew it? Honestly, an absolute disaster last night. Obviously involving Gordon DL. Right, there was a debate about one of the questions, right, which was bigger, the capacity of Hampden or the population of Motherwell. Then we had the mother of all stewards inquiries. We went to the tiebreaker, and then the guy's phone cut out before the tiebreaker, so we had to get someone else on
to play the tiebreaker.
It was nonsense. Let's a bit more straightforward tonight, if we can. 0141 951 1025, and the lines close at 7 o'clock.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Ross McCormick and Marvin Bartley are here. It's 0141 951 1025. That is the number that you need. So get in touch. Of course, the managerial vacancy at Ibrox seems to be dominating the phone lines. We've been building up to the Scottish Cup final as well. There are other managerial vacancies out there. We've got playoffs tomorrow. There is loads happening. And I just went through to that office for something, and it smelled an awful lot like square sausage in there. I think somebody's cooking you up a little treat.
I wouldn't even know what it smelled like, so I could have just walked straight past it.
Live on air. I think we could make you sample the goods before we're done.
This could go well, or it could go badly. Live radio, though.
Food poisoning on live on air. Anyway, let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Marvin Bartley or Ross McCormick will be in the hot seat, and I have to admit, I'm not entirely sure what we're about to get ourselves involved in. We're about to bring in Jamie and Evan. How are you both? Are you well?
Hi, Gordon. We're really good, aye. We're passing Gordon.
I think we're involved in some sort of like weird crossover right now. So the guys are from Riley's Gaff podcast, and you like you broadcasting us live. Is this some sort of prank that we are involved in? You're going to
This is as sincere as it gets. We are not actually live, so this will come out like in a week or something. So
don't
swear, Gordon.
I was going to exactly. You keep me right. I'm glad you two are here to keep me right. That's good, right? Well, why not?
Well, so if they lose, they're just going to edit it anyway.
Probably
come back in a week. That's fair.
Change your voice,
Marv. There's not a chance
they're
losing to you, mate.
All right, buddy.
Well, they've obviously they could have called any night, so they must think you.
Because Roscoe's on. Roscoe's down at the bottom.
I can't even. Actually, I can't say anything against that.
Have you got a bit? Have you got a bit of knowledge?
Okay, I think we'll do just fine.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. Ross genuinely goes for a nervous bathroom break every time he's on just before we play.
Sweating.
So. You'll be fine, Ross.
Heads, it is Marvin. Tails, it will be. Nervous man Ross, and it is heads. It's Marvin, I'm afraid. The toilet break was unnecessary. So what we'll do is give Marvin something else to listen to. Jamie and Evan on the line are going to take him on. So you know the script, I'm sure, but to remind you, 30 seconds, answer as many as you can, and pass if you do not know the answer. Okay?
Okay, yeah, problem.
Right, who wants to be the spokesman? Don't both shout at me at once. That I'm too simple to take that in.
Right, aye. It's Evan. I'll be the spokesman for
this one. Nice one. I see. His name's on the podcast. He's pulling rank here. Right, okay, let's do it. 30 seconds going on the clock, and your time starts now. Name any League One team from this season that's previously won the Scottish Cup.
Abroad.
Where did Rangers sign James Tavernier from?
Newcastle.
Who's Scotland men's team's current assistant manager?
John Carver.
How many countries will take part in Euro 2028?
32.
Which English team did Steven Gerrard leave Rangers for?
Aston Villa.
Who scored the winner in last year's men's Scottish Cup final?
Ida.
Okay, let's bring him back. Marvin Bartley, can you hear us?
I can indeed.
You ready?
That was a long time.
Oh, honestly.
It did feel like a long time. Was that like.
See, the one thing that I can't wait to be done with this season for is this nonsense that try and pull. It's the same 30 second timer that we've used every night for the last 10 years.
I don't know. Was there a lot of talking or something going on?
No, none.
Okay, I'm going to watch the show back tomorrow. You just can't count. So, let's
see this. Marvin's playing against the two guys from the podcast. Is it like the 5K minute or whatever where I can help him, but he's got to give the final? Not that I'd help him anyway.
The rules are as many people as they like can team up on the phones, but the pundits are on their own. Are you ready?
Yeah.
30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Name any League One team from this season that's previously won the Scottish Cup.
Inverness.
Which club did Rangers sign James Tavernier from?
Bristol City.
Who is the Scotland men's team's current assistant manager?
Carver.
How many countries will take part in Euro 2028?
34.
Which English team did Steven Gerrard leave Rangers for?
Aston Villa.
Who scored the winner in last year's men's Scottish Cup final?
Kyogo.
Stephen Fletcher has just been released from which club?
Wrexham.
Name any country Scotland men's team will play in June. Quickly. 3, 2, 1. Done.
Denmark.
Wrong anyway. Right, Jamie Evan, have you done enough?
I think it's tight, but I think Marv might have just done me there.
Ooh, it's tight. Let's go through them and find out. Name any League One team from this season that has won the Scottish Cup. You had the choice of Dumbarton or Inverness Cali Thistle. 1-0 Marvin.
Dumbarton, I had no idea.
Yeah, well, way back, obviously. Yeah. And none of you, neither of you, got James Tavernier. Wigan. Remember him and Martin Waghorn together? Yeah. Anyway, John Carver is the assistant manager of Scotland, so it's 2-1 to Marvin. None of you knew that there will be 24 countries in Euro 2028. It's in the news today because we are a host nation, but we still need to qualify. That might just be the most Scotland national team story of all time. We can't even get into the tournaments that we're hosting. How does that work?
Have like eight teams like putting joint bids together in the future.
Anyway, where are we? Are we still one up to Marvin because you both got Steven Gerrard, went to Aston Villa, still one up Marvin. However, Jamie and Evan, Celtic fans, Adam Ida. How can you forget the winner of last season?
Oh, man.
Late on, dramatic.
Got him his move, didn't it?
Pretty much sealed his move to Celtic, so we're level game. However, Stephen Fletcher has just been released from Wrexham.
They got it.
They didn't get that far.
Back to your podcast, lads.
I'm heartbroken. For what it's worth, it's Liechtenstein or Iceland, the men's team is playing.
Two friendlies.
In June, the friendlies.
Yeah, how would have got that? You'd have got that. You didn't get that far, buddy. Which one are you at?
If I go that far.
You can never be outpaced by Marvin Bartley. That's the lesson here. So is this going on the podcast? Is it? You're not going to edit this out?
No, we'll stay through to our word.
I want to listen to the podcast to make sure.
No, I will send you.
Yeah, send me a link.
I'm not alive, by the way.
Everybody says that. What is that, just the nerves kicking?
I froze up. Do you know what it is? It feels, you think you get longer than you do, and then you hear that whistle and it's all over.
Throws up.
I feel your pain, lads, I tell you that.
There we go. Ross is even worse than you guys on the phone. I thought it was a good enough effort. I think you could do that again. That wasn't like an embarrassment, was it? I'm patronising you here a bit.
No, do you know what? I think they were hard. I know it's a stereotypical answer, Gordon.
I agree with you. They were difficult.
I won't disagree with you. I think they're quite tricky. But I think 4-3 is like an okay scoreline. Yeah, like it was like 2-1.
Just about winning it doesn't matter about the score.
So we'll take it. See, speaking of which, the 5K minute, me and Scott Allen, I told you we were at, bumped into him at the gym this morning. Obviously it's sunny, so obviously you're going to sit outside for quite a long period of time and soak it all in. We decided to take on the 5K minute together and got a 9, unfortunately. None of us were computer whiz kids. Not live on air, for goodness sake. Just generally.
How many did he give you, though? A couple?
That's just how fun we are. That's the sort of wild life that we live. Incredible. Anyway, right, thank you two. It was good to hear from you. Enjoy the rest of your podcast or whatever we've just
interrupted.
Got involved in.
No worries. Well done, Marv.
Cheers, buddy.
James, sir.
Take care, guys.
Brilliant. Take care.
See ya.
There we go. Jamie and Evan teamed up on you. Couldn't even get the
I felt nervous about today's one, though. I think your nerves kind of...
I'll be honest,
came on to me.
I would have beat you there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's big talk.
No.
From a man who hates beat the punter.
Yeah, I'd probably have froze.
You'd have done a Jamie.
What would you have got right? You'd have got Wigan.
I'd have got Wigan. Adam Ida.
Yeah, true. Yeah, you'd have done him.
John Carver. What was the other
Fletcher
question?
Was an easy one. So
Fletcher's an easy one at Wrexham, yeah.
The pace is...
never played for Bristol, though. I just make that up.
I think he might have on loan, I think.
I
the guys
have been going for 10.
The guys said, steady you. The guys did say Newcastle as well, which was a previous club of his, obviously. It's where he started.
He played for Bristol.
No, he did, yeah, on loan from Wigan, but they signed him from Wigan. Don't even try. What are you on about?
I just want to ask you a question here, and it's a yes or no. The last team that James Tavernier played for before coming to Rangers was
possibly Bristol. That's not the way it works. Hold on a minute. Even by your standards.
No, it doesn't work that way.
That's not
just
the way it works.
Was it?
Yeah, because I remember him playing there.
On loan. It might have been, but again, it was on loan.
On loan from Wigan? Yes.
He's just making up that it's a loan.
I'm not.
He's typing frantically, like that gif of the cat.
Let's look into it, shall we? Right. I'm feeling pretty confident. When did he sign? 15, something like that. I'm confident. I really am. I'm certain that you're talking absolute nonsense. And anyway, it wouldn't matter. That's not how loans work. You don't become. It was Bristol City. No, but he was on loan.
Oh, okay.
He then goes back to Wigan and gets sold to Rangers. What bit about that don't you understand?
So his last team was Bristol City.
His last game for Bristol City, incidentally.
I'd have argued it strongly.
If anyone's struggling to sleep tonight, you can recall this. Was an 8-2 win against Walsall. What was going on in League One?
Check this. Did the defender not score 4 that night, Aidan Flint?
3.
Great knowledge, by the way.
Knowledge.
You know why? My big strike partner, Matty Smith, he must have scored about 25 on loan from either Fulham or Leeds that season. They won League One.
So you're saying it's an easy division, basically?
Basically, yeah. I'm kidding.
Anyway, 01419511025. You can tweet us as well at ClydeSSB. Talking about the cup final, if you so wish, the managerial vacancies, anything else that's happening, the playoffs tomorrow. You've been in touch with the Livingston camp, have you?
Yeah, spoken to a few of them. As I said, like they are confident. Listen, Ross County have been on a really bad run, but I think they all understand the importance of tomorrow's game being the home one, going up to Dingwall. I think it's on the Monday. It's going to be a lot more difficult for them, but they're confident they can get a result at home 100%. And they start fast and can get a lead to take up the road. You know, they are confident they can, you know, return back to the top flight. So, yeah, it'll be a really interesting game. Interesting how Ross County set up. I think sometimes when you're playing in that playoff and you're the Premiership team, I think you go into it knowing that you're ultimately better than the team you're playing against without being disrespectful. So that might give them a little bit of a confidence boost that they definitely need at this moment in time. But, yeah, if it doesn't start right for them, it'll be interesting to see how they react.
Although, I guess, do you go into it sort of knowing that you can survive it and you have? You know, there's not that nervousness based around like the kind of fear of the unknown, you know what I mean, if you're Ross County.
They've been there before, haven't they? And was it Partick Thistle when they
not twice in a row they've been,
but I mean they had a massive turnaround up at Dingwall. So it's even one of those, if they do lose the first leg, like, they'll be like, listen, we've been here before. But listen, Don Kai is not going to put himself into that position. But yeah, I think both clubs will be confident and make for an open game.
Yeah, I think yous have probably been over this already, but for me this should be a one off at Tynecastle or Easter Road or something, shouldn't it? A one off game, proper showpiece, winner takes all. This two-leg stuff it's not for me.
I think trying to convince the Premiership teams to vote for that would be difficult, wouldn't it? But we always have these things about self-preservation versus what would be good entertainment. And with no offence to Ross County, I just feel like we should introduce a rule that if you're in the playoffs too many times in a row, you just have to forfeit.
You're relegated.
We just can't keep doing this every year.
Yeah, we can't.
I just feel like we might. It feels conceivable that they might be in it, like, 5-6 times in a row.
Might just keep on happening.
We can't have that.
Just do what you do to Roger Hanna. Just minus. Play some minus two.
Minus two. I'm all for it. I am all for that. Let's bring in Sean, who's in Paisley. How are you, Sean?
Yeah, mate. I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, honestly, I'm really nervous for the game in Saturday.
Really?
Honestly.
You support Aberdeen?
No, I'm a Celtic fan.
Oh. That was the surprise in my voice. You think I would have said that if he was an Aberdeen fan?
No, honestly, I know I've been listening and you have been saying that it's going to be a thrashing, but honestly, I know your people say it's a cup game, anything can happen, but I was at the game on Saturday and I seen Nicky Holder and I thought, honestly, we weren't the best. Honestly, I think it's 90 minutes of football, anything can happen.
Well, do you know what? It's funny because James Forrest scores a goal, which means absolutely nothing else from that game gets discussed. Mm-hmm. It was amazing because it was such a obviously significant goal for him and then to the Celtic fans. Imagine trying to explain to someone, like, why on earth are they celebrating a late equaliser against St Mirren and an end of season dead rubber like that? Is that clutching to suggest that Celtic were, you know, off it at the weekend and then that somehow bleeds into the cup final?
I think we were let away with one.
Yeah, but it's job done from those players' point of view. Listen, without being respectful, those players have gone to that last game and all eyes have been focused on the cup final. You know, yes, it's the last home game, but they've won the title. They've done what they've had to do across the course of a league season. They understand that. If you'd had to go and playing against St Mirren or playing against St Mirren at Celtic Park and had to win that game, you'd have seen a totally different Celtic team. So that was job done. So from their point of view, from the players' point of view, they're not robots. They just go into the game. They play it. St Mirren are up for it. Obviously, I know they can finish in fifth place. Whatever. Now, now going to the cup final, Sean, you'll see a totally, totally different Celtic team. And I agree with you. Listen, if it would have been a performance like, you know, if you put performance something like you did against St Mirren, it'd be a lot closer between yourselves and Aberdeen. But I just don't think that complacency is anywhere near Celtic Football Club at this moment in time.
What do you think, Ross?
Yeah, I think the Celtic boys looked as if they were probably waiting on the party. Played the game in Big Marvin's Crocs as well, I think. But no, listen, I totally agree with them. Different Celtic's going to show up for this cup final, 100%. I think the nerves from Sean and probably some other Celtic fans come from the fact that they probably agree with us in that it probably should be a little bit of a going over. But there's always that little if, isn't there? There's so much to lose for Celtic.
I suppose the Sean, yeah, look, it wasn't vintage, wouldn't pretend otherwise, but if Dyson Maeda scores a very, very simple chance that he had, then maybe it becomes a bit more comfortable. Do we maybe make too much of it when Celtic don't quite get it all their own way in a game?
Going to the last game, you're wanting to see maybe a good performance, you're wanting to go off on a high. I felt like, well, mostly our full team out, and it was just an underperformance.
Are you not going off on a high from your league campaign this season?
I'm going off on a high, but for the last game of the season, you still want everything for the team.
Yeah. No, listen, as a Celtic fan, of course, you're going to want every single time the players go out there, but surely there has to be an understanding that, you know, the title's won, all of these things that play into it. Some fans might be like, oh, that shouldn't matter, you know. It's the last game of the season. You've got the Scottish Cup final coming up the week after. You're going to go around and you're going to clap the fans after. You're going to lift the trophy. All of these things, you know, that's all you really care about. Those 90 minutes, I imagine, for those Celtic players, you just want to get through it injury-free and then concentrate on what comes next, rightly or wrongly. But they have done enough in order to earn that. Those players have earned the right to say, right, let's just see this game through and then go into the Scottish Cup. I get your nerves because you're a Celtic fan and you want to see your team win and it's for the treble, but honestly, I don't think you have any worries about how your team's going to attack this cup final.
I totally agree with you, but it's just still nerves. And there's also one point I'd like to make where I feel quite disappointed with Rodgers not bringing on Scott Bain because he's not had an appearance this season. I felt like he should have been brought on for the last five if the game was already dead rubber, according to you.
Yeah, but you were losing at that point, so...
Well, the game was dead rubber, wasn't it?
Yeah,
Is that the last five games, appearances in the last five games? How many appearances you got to make to get a medal? It's not just one.
I don't think that's still a rule, is it?
I think you get one now, don't you?
Yeah.
It's not that I don't have strong feelings either way. I'm just verging on speechless because I just didn't expect it. I didn't know that was a thing out there. It's not a point I expected to be raised.
In terms of the nerves and stuff?
No, that Scott Bain should have been put on for the last 5 minutes.
Yeah. No, that's not a point I thought I'd hear. But listen, each their own. Sean thinks he, you know, should have got an appearance, but yeah.
For Sean, just so that he can, you know, has one appearance to his name this season?
It's a team game. I think everyone should be involved, Gordon.
Fair enough. Each to their own. Thank you to Sean and Paisley. 0141 951 1025. And we'll take more of your calls. Hold on. You smell that? I think we're going to get Big Marvin on the square sausage when we return. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It's the moment the nation has been waiting for. We have got Marvin Bartley some square sausage. This time last week on the show, he stunned the nation. Said he'd not only had he never tried it, he had never even heard of it. Scotland was about to kick him out. They were about to push him back over the border, send him over Hadrian's Wall and never speak to him again. However, we've got him some to try live on air. We've got brown sauce, we've got tomato sauce, so we need you to take a bit of each. So a bit with each sauce and a bit on its own, and you can give us your verdict. The only thing is,
this is a big thing, by the way.
Remind me that if I have got one meal left on this earth, producer John doesn't cook it. He has absolutely cremated your sausage. Right, there's a sentence I never thought I would say. So I tried to... There you go. There's a big presentation for you.
Thank you very much.
I tried to cut it. I've now sprained my wrist trying to through that sausage. Right, so let's go first. No sauce. Give us the verdict here. Smells good. Oh, the tension.
He likes it, doesn't
he? I'm worried that if he doesn't... I think I'll fall out with him if he doesn't.
The texture's not great.
What about the taste? This is pathetic for you. It's a national delicacy.
This is.
You're not convinced? I thought everyone just loved it. Oh, he doesn't look impressed. He's gone off it. That was the tomato sauce version. What are you saying to that? Come
that
on.
That was worse.
This is radio. You need to update
better
us.
By itself. It's better by itself than that.
It's a bit dry.
It's
though,
not a Bush Tucker trial. Behave yourself. Eating down the mic doesn't sound great either, does it? Oh no, he's not impressed. Right, seriously, get some.
I'll be honest.
Get the. I don't know who deports people. The, I want him out. I want him down
best,
south.
Best
again.
With brown sauce, then by itself, then with ketchup. But that will not be eaten in my house ever.
Oh, come on.
I don't know if it's the way that John's cooked it.
Maybe.
Or what, but even the texture is very, very...
On a roll, butter.
Yeah, it might be a bit
cup
different.
Cup of tea. Cup of tea to wash it down.
I'll give it a 6 out of 10.
Oh, that's all right then.
6 out of 10, yeah.
I mean, it's not high enough, but that'll do. You want the rest of that?
All right.
Sandpaper, man.
I think I'm tempted. 6 out of 10.
I'm worried in case on, smash one of my
see
teeth.
See what it's like that. Compared to, like, what you've had before. This is the important thing.
Why is it so hard? You're missing a tooth.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, exactly. And you're saying to me, oh, yeah.
No wonder he didn't like it.
That's like cereal.
That's what it's like, a cereal bar.
Wait, I'm letting you off the hook. We need to do it again. That's outrageous. Can I be honest? It tastes like a good sausage, though. That's butcher's. That's out the butcher's, but... No, come on.
The cooking's not great.
What, it's crunchy? Yeah. It's fully crunchy.
Honestly. And that's why it took me so long to be able to speak.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. It also made me really hot, but...
No, I'm sorry. We've let you
John,
down. We've let you down.
Failed me.
The
Scotland,
skills.
I've been failed.
Ross, can I interest you?
Can you try it?
I'm
so
going to have
can,
to try
yeah,
it.
So you can compare it to, okay. like, what you've had.
I'll try do
you
know and what? Get a bit out the middle so I don't break my teeth. Oh, my God.
This is so hard. It sounds like he's eating Monster Munch. It shouldn't sound like that.
What, so it okay. should be, like, soft like a sausage?
Yes.
Right, that's what I mean. I mean... There's a lot gone wrong with this one, but I tried.
Okay, Ross is...
I was stuck in my throat. I'll be honest, Gordon's right, actually, is a nice sausage. Mm-hmm. It's just...
I think that tastes good, it's just...
Yeah, it's a bit crispy.
Absolutely demolished.
So if that's the first time you tried it, you'd be...
I would probably wouldn't eat it again.
Yeah, <I'll be> honest.
Sorry, John.
Honestly.
Oh, we tried.
See if you see the wee oven thing we've got in there that was cooked in. Oh, that thing could tell some stories. That's not been cleaned in about...
Don't say that.
12 years.
We'll all be ill tomorrow.
It's what cooks the pies in here on a Saturday. The way it's like a little... I don't even know... I mean, it is essentially an oven, but it's more like a sunbed for pies. It's a weird little contraption, and I think that's what that's been cooked in.
Should have brought my air fryer with me.
Yeah. Should have... Horrific.
Anyway. It was cooked with a hairdryer.
I still think I'll polish that at the next break though.
Yeah.
I've had a little taste now. I'm tempted. 0141 951 1025. See, we do it all here. Food reviews, you know, quizzing. Let's quiz a bit more quickly. We're going to speak to Colin in just a second. Thanks to Mark Kelly, can you name the last three Scotland men's internationals to play for Man United and Spurs respectively? The last three, that's coming back on me now, that we shouldn't have eaten that live on air. Can you name the last three Scotland men's internationals to play for Man United and the last three to play for Spurs? It is a nod, of course, to tonight's Europa League final. Is everyone, like, have we done the unthinkable here? See, even the kind of, obviously, allegiances here and whatever. I feel like everyone I'm speaking to is like kind of Team Ange on this because they just want to see him win it, do the mic drop, leave, probably stick a couple of fingers up to everybody and walk out, and it would be quite a cool story. No,
yeah, 100%. And I'm an Arsenal fan down there, and I want Ange to win. So,
big.
Let me explain though, which obviously means that Spurs win. But I think he has been massively disrespected, but the way that the media have came at him, because when he first went in, they loved his honesty and everything else. It's almost like they just now want him to fail. So for that reason, I want him to go and win it, because I think they've been extremely disrespectful towards him. And do you know what? I'm going to say this, and saying this as an Englishman isn't great. I think because he came from Scotland and the way that some people look at Scottish football, they almost don't want him to be the first one at Tottenham to win something for 17 or 18 years. They almost want it to look like, see, it's easy winning in Scotland, but you come to England and it's totally different. So all of these things are
then
ended.
His league position this season would back that, but obviously
it's not
win
been
a trophy.
Great. Oh, but ultimately, if you can win a trophy and get into the Champions League, don't get me wrong, their league form has been poor. They've had a lot of injuries and everything else, but I just don't think he's been given a fair rub of the green for certain things that are kind of out of his control because he has come straight from Scottish football.
But this is a monster club in England, a huge club, and they are, what, are they 16th or 17th?
17th, I think.
So surely deserves a criticism, no?
Yeah, but what they're criticising him for. Like, Ruben Amorim hasn't had nearly the same criticism in terms of, and he's right down there. So why has he almost been...
And they're an even bigger club.
Of course they are. How many managers have gone to Tottenham and not won anything? You think Conte, like Mourinho, they've had some big managers that have gone and not won things.
I'm sure we've said on this show before, though, a big thing is about managers having a pre-season to get there. Mm. Amorim's not had that, has he?
I don't really care so much. Well, I do, but, you know, whether he's treated harshly in the media was fine, but I think the fact that he obviously said win things in my second season, and then he's been really ridiculed for that, so it would be pretty cool if that just ended that way.
100%,
because you can't really ridicule it until it's impossible, can you?
Yeah.
I don't know why people did it so early, and then we'll have to eat their words if that happens, but maybe it won't. Let's see. Any answers on the teaser, incidentally? Last three.
Darren Fletcher?
Yes.
Scott McTominay.
Yeah, all right, two easy ones to kick us off. So we'll leave it there for now. Thank you to Mark Kelly. If you want to hear your question, your full-time teaser used, the address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. We're looking for the last three Scotland men's internationals to play for Man United and the last three for Tottenham. McTominay and Fletcher. We'll try and get the rest as the show progresses. Let's bring in Colin from Troon. How are you, Colin?
Hi there, guys. I'm great, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it'll be nice down your way in this weather, Colin.
Oh, it's beautiful. I'm sitting... looking across at Arran just now, through my window, staying at the beachfront, so it's all good.
Oh, Colin, what a spot that is. Do you dislike it, though, when the city folk, you know, come down and invade your nice, quiet...
Sometimes it gets a bit... But I could understand that, because, you know, if I stayed up there, I would want to come down here as well, you know, so it's a beach, isn't it? You've not got a beach up there, so...
I want to drop the ball off. I want to see Colin's gaff. If he wins, in fact, you know what? I don't know what I'm thinking. He's not playing Beat the Pundit.
But we can give him some square sausage.
I'm half an hour behind. I don't know what just happened there. But anyway, I'll come and visit you, Colin, if you don't mind. At some point. What are you thinking tonight?
I'm obviously on tender hooks, so I'm absolutely hoping that Steven Gerrard comes back to Rangers. I know I've been listening to what some of the fans are saying. I would say that I've got a feeling the majority of the Rangers fans see Gerrard as one of us. And I think somebody mentioned on your panel that it was understated what he did, because I mean, Neil Lennon was a good manager. He won the treble, and Steven Gerrard, you know, he beat that team. They had Callum McGregor, they had Scott Brown, Jamie Forrest, you know, one or two others. It was almost impossible that we were going to stop Celtic that year, and it was a treble winning manager as well. Neil Lennon was a good manager for them, and he didn't just beat them, he mauled them. You know, I'd like to see him up against Brendan Rodgers, because it'd be two teams that are going to go at each other this time. He plays a kind of British-style attacking football, Steven Gerrard. He's got a bit of everything in his teams. I know the last few games before he left, he kind of went flat, but as the Rangers fans, we were all feeling that he needed cash at that point, and then he left. So, but coming back... We're wanting the same from him. You know, he built that Rangers team bit by bit up to that point. So I really do think that he's definitely the man for Rangers. And I feel that the majority of the Rangers fans are 100% behind him. The majority. There'll be some that don't want him here. I mean, you heard that for Celtic with Brendan Rodgers as well. And Rodgers v Gerrard is the unknown, because Gerrard will know his tactics inside out as well. So... I'm looking forward to it, and I just wanted to give him a backing on the show, because there's been a few negative calls, you know, and not understate that Celtic team that they buried, you know, and I know they were talking about COVID, but we never had fans either, you know, and that was a highly experienced Celtic team and manager, which is forgotten, you know.
I agree with Colin. I think Gerrard does tick a lot of boxes. Roscoe made a great point earlier on when he spoke about Gerrard coming in and the aura that he does have and the respect they will instantly command. You know, looking at Rangers from the outside in, we speak about them tactically on the pitch, but I think there's also a cultural problem at that football club where I don't think the standards are as high, and I hate comparing the two, as if you went to Celtic and you saw them train, and just about how the players go about their business and what it actually means to play for a club of that size. I think Gerrard will instantly demand that from them. I think that needs sorting out. I think there needs to be a massive, massive transfer window in terms of getting the right players into the building. We saw it last time we brought in the likes of, you know, Jermaine Defoe, someone who's been there and done it, and, you know, a highly experienced professional footballer and done it at the top level. So instantly when he goes into that dressing room, he's going to command respect from others and he's going to drag them up with him. I just think Rangers are missing that at this moment in time, when you see the way they perform sometimes and the way they go about their business on the pitch. That just doesn't happen on a Saturday or a Sunday when they're playing. That for me is a Monday to Friday thing. So I think it'll come in and it'll fix those things. And yeah, it's a massive, massive transfer window. And I think you have to be ruthless as well with some of the players that are still there in terms of players under contract. There might be one or two that have to go. And then you almost send a shockwave throughout the rest of the squad to say that nobody's safe here. And I think then you start to get the better out of everybody else. I think some players at Rangers have become too comfortable.
Back to what we said earlier, Ross, Colin saying, that was a good Celtic team to beat. Look at the players that they had and the manager that had won stuff. And for every argument, people pop up the other one and say, yeah, but Celtic, they capitulated, they imploded. They had all this, it was a team at the end of its cycle and players didn't want to be there. And all the sort of disasters. And as usual, look, the truth's probably somewhere in the middle. You cannot take away Rangers' title win that season because, like, of the manner that they did it in as well. But also would be mad to totally overlook the fact that just Celtic compared to Celtic, something went terribly awry as well. So who knows to what, you know, what you can sort of give weight to whichever side of it you want, I suppose.
Yeah, but I think I'm going to pick up on one thing that Marvin said there. He was talking about getting the right players into the building. I think this summer, just as important as getting the right players out of the building as well. They're going to have to raise some funds. These new owners, when it does happen, which I believe it will, I don't think they're going to spend fortunes. I think a lot of what will be spent will be generated by player sales. So, you know, I don't know how much your Raskins and that are going to generate, but I would imagine that a couple of the better players at Rangers are probably going to be attracting offers, and I think the new owners will be looking at it. But it's a huge summer for Rangers. Now, you talk about the time it takes to get a manager in. I don't think it's that important whether it's this week or next week, but they've got to get the right guy.
Colin, would he be your number one choice sort of overall, or is this just out of the three names that get mentioned, Ancelotti, Russell Martin and Stephen, oh, he's disappeared. Signal, see, yeah, that signal and Trun's no great. Lovely
yeah,
view.
That's why you can't go down there.
Seaside atmosphere.
How do I contact you?
Exactly.
Maybe that's why you're trying to go. Yeah, get away from me.
You had any more of that sausage, no?
No, I've had my lot. It's like a frisbee now.
It's very firm and crispy, shall we say. Anyway, thanks to Colin. It was a good call while it lasted. 01419511025. You can join in as well on Twitter. Let us know what you are thinking tonight. We can build up to the playoffs tomorrow if you wish. We can look ahead to the weekend. We've still got the managerial situations, as we mentioned. So do get in touch. Let's revisit this teaser quickly. So the admin bit, let me just all remind you. I know you've maybe heard it before, but if you haven't, this is the full-time teaser. You send the questions to us, and the pundits try and answer your question. So if you like the sound of it and you want your recognition, your question used, the address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. So Mark Kelly tonight says, can you name the last three Scotland men's internationals to play for Man United and the last three to play for Tottenham? You've already given the most recent and probably easiest one, Scott McTominay. The one before that, and again, fairly well known and well publicised, Darren Fletcher.
So six in total?
Yes, three from Man United, three from three from Man United, three from Spurs.
Alan Hutton?
Yes.
I had down, I'll need to go back to the drawing board, I think.
Right, okay. I'll give you some thinking time, and we will take more of your calls if you so wish, and get the answer to this teaser when we return.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We are on the home straight on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Almost done, but still plenty of time to get your calls in. So let's hear from you if you can. Marvin Bartley and Ross McCormick are here. 01419511025. The teaser tonight is in honour, if you like, of the Europa League final. Can you name the last three Scotland men's internationals to play for Man United and the last three to play for Spurs? You've got Scott McTominay, Darren Fletcher, Alan Hutton. anymore during the break? That's usually when you do your best work.
Yes, old assistant manager at Aston Villa, Colin Calderwood.
Colin Calderwood, well done. Okay, you've only got two to get.
You got another one, Roscoe?
You want, I was leaving it for you.
No,
you
mate,
contribute at all here.
No, I started with the two of the first three, so
they were pretty easy ones.
Yeah, but someone's still got to tap them in. This is another worldie from him.
Phil Bardsley.
Phil Bardsley, well done. Played for Man United and, of course, came up to Rangers, Scotland. Was knocked out in his kitchen, or Wayne Rooney's kitchen. Was it Rooney's kitchen?
He did the knocking out.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah, he did the knocking out. That's right.
Don't get that wrong. I don't want him turning up outside there. He's like, who's Gordon? I'll be like, him.
I would hide behind you. Right, okay, you've got one more to get. It's quite tricky. We'll try and get it before the end. Speaking of Scott McTominay this weekend, him and Billy Gilmore could be Scudetto winners, 1 point ahead. Were you keeping across it on Sunday night there?
Well, because they drew, didn't they?
It was quite nerve wracking.
Yeah.
So Inter were winning.
Yeah.
Napoli were drawing, which would have put Inter back top, and Lazio scored a 90-something minute penalty.
Unbelievable, by the way.
Napoli lead by 1 point. So win the game on Sunday night, and we'll have a double Scottish. A double Scottish Scudetto win.
What's the fixtures, Gordon?
Napoli are at home.
Calgary, Napoli. Yeah. Honestly, since those two have gone out, I know about Italian football. Before that, I had no idea. They're at home to Calgary. They should win. Calgary have got nothing to play for. I think they're like 5 points outside of the top relegation team, so they can't really move anywhere. Should win it. But yeah,
that'd be a good story, wouldn't it? Well, so Lewis Ferguson winning the cup and those two winning the league.
Unbelievable. Honestly, so good for Scottish players, though. It's so, so good. Like seeing them go abroad and doing so well and the pathways that it's opened up to so many other players. Lennon Miller looks like he's the next one to, you know, potentially go into Europe as well. So, yeah, that's fantastic. And for those two individually as well, it would be absolutely brilliant. Obviously, McTominay was kind of ran out of Manchester United, wasn't he? So, a year on, he's about to, you know, win a title and, you know, they're struggling towards the bottom of the league.
Inter away at Como, I think, aren't they?
Is that Fabregas's team?
Yeah. Who are also signing?
Dele Alli.
Alex Vai, I was going to say, from a Scottish football perspective.
Are they?
That's what was reported today, 5-6 million, something like that. Anyway. My goodness, we go off on tangents here from Square Sausage to the Scudetto. Let's go back to the phone lines and see what we've got there before we bid you farewell this evening. We've got Raymond on. How are you, Raymond?
How are you doing?
Not bad. What are you thinking?
I'd like to know the panel's view. I think there's an issue between Brendan Rodgers and Noroska. The reason being is the last Old Firm game, right, he played the Rangers convincingly, won, right, and I thought he was excellent. He played the next game against Hibs too, right, and then he was dropped into oblivion, and then all of a sudden he was up at Pittodrie and scored the goal too, accomplished performance and everything tonight, and he was dropped the next game. Now I know he's a young lad and all that's right. But my partner's Polish, right? And our pal's man is a Pogon Svetson, a season ticket holder in Poland. And when he heard he was coming to Celtic, he actually says, that's a future Poland captain. So I'd just let you know the panel's view on it, because that mystifies me.
Is Navrotsky hard done by? What do you think?
I'm going to put my neck on the line. I'm going to say, in terms of ability, yes, I believe he's probably better than Trusty Anscales, to be honest with you. But I think there's a couple of things that go against him. I think Scales came through at Celtic, young boy, so he probably gets a little bit more leeway. And obviously Trusty, £6-7 million in the summer.
Navrotsky. Yeah,
I don't think he's done much wrong any time he's played. Whereas I think over the course of the season, I think the other two have made a few mistakes. I think that's fair. So he could feel a little bit hard done by. But listen, I think Brendan Rodgers probably at the end of the day just prefers the other two.
Yeah, I don't think he has a problem with him. Otherwise, he wouldn't still be at the football club. Like you said there, Roscoe, sometimes managers just prefer other players. I agree with what Raymond's saying. I think when he has came in, he's done well. Especially the game against Rangers. I know Celtic did end up losing, but I think he was the best of, you know, the back four and the goalkeeper. So you say the back five, for example. Again, we speak about him going and playing against Aberdeen. But I don't think he's done himself any harm at all. In fact, I think he's enhanced his kind of, you know, credentials in terms of, you know, playing for Celtic next season or challenging for a place next season. I think it's difficult though when you want to play on that right hand side, which is the side you prefer to play on, when you've got, you know, Carter Vickers playing there. So he has to be patient. I don't think there's anything personal between the two, as I said, because I don't think he'll be at the football club. But I do believe that, you know, the games he has played, he's done well, but he can feel hard done by, yes.
It's maybe beyond patience though, because I think Brendan Rodgers alluded to the fact that that game that Raymond's speaking about, I think Dane Murray was going to play it if he hadn't got injured. So if you're to read into that, he's even behind, maybe behind Dane Murray in that pecking order. Celtic will probably sign a centre-half in the summer as well. So patience, you know, the fact he's got a future. Because I'd agree, by the way, he's looked perfectly good any time he's played. But I just wonder if the writing's actually on the wall.
It might be one of those, Gordon, definitely, where, you know, he might have to leave the football club to get, you know, first-team football and consistently get first-team football. But I definitely think now, you know, that who's the player that you mentioned, a young player coming through? Dane Murray wouldn't play ahead of him now if there was an injury crisis again. Do you know what I mean? So previous to that, I don't think Nowoski had done extremely well in the games he'd been given. I think he'd looked a liability at times, but he's definitely come on leaps and bounds since then when he's going to be ahead of, you know, Murray at this moment in time. But you're right, you know, if Celtic do sign a centre-half, it might be for him to go. But that doesn't mean he's a bad player or the manager has a personal problem with him. It just means at this moment in time, you know, you're not the right fit for the football club.
Can you see it, Raymond? Do you think he's got a long-term future?
I'd love to see him where I would. He's only 24 and I've been really impressed. See, for a defender, see his passing ability. Really cool and calm at passing. You know, a ball out for defence. I would like to see it. I don't know. You get down this cliche, he's only 24, right? And I would hate to let him go and end his success somewhere else. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's funny because you can always look at 24, it's not that young to maybe, you know, put it this way, I don't think he can be considered young, like in football sense. But maybe as a centre back, maybe his best years are still ahead of him, Ross. But that's probably why Celtic signed him a couple of years ago. So, you know, I don't know if 24 is quite young enough to fall into that category of, you know, let's keep waiting to see.
Yeah, no, I don't think Brendan Rodgers would be classing him as a young boy anymore, to be honest. But listen, I think it's probably pretty simple. I think Brendan Rodgers is probably cutthroat enough that if he had an issue with someone, he probably wouldn't be in the squad at all. If a manager's got an issue with a player, and I know this personally, you're not in his squad, you're not in his plans, and you're out the door as soon as possible. So I don't think there's anything going on. I think he just favours other players.
Well, it's an interesting suggestion anyway, Raymond, and we thank you for your time. That was Raymond in Alexandria. You can join in 01419511025. Not got much left to play you from today's media. It's going to pick up a bit over the next couple of days with Celtic, Brendan Rodgers, etc. speaking, but one that is an important note certainly to hit on. Let's hear from Jimmy Tilleen giving us the latest on that really unsavoury incident at the weekend involving Jack McKenzie being hit by the chair at, or the seat, sorry, at Tannadice.
I think we have a strong support around the team and good teammates and good staff, and he's a strong guy and he has been performing well in the sessions. We tried also to look forward, not looking back, and taking care of him. In every area where you're working in life, if it's football or somewhere else, you have to feel safe, of course. We always have to secure that place are safe and staff and whatever you work with, you have to feel safe at the job.
Marvin, we're probably actually now at the stage where I won't ask you, any of you, to say too much on it because a man has appeared in court. So, you know, listen, the legal process is kicking in. We wait to see what the football response is. But, you know, just in the most general sense, good to hear that Aberdeen feel like in club, you know, they're looking after him, and hopefully Jack McKenzie physically and mentally as well is on the mend.
Yeah, exactly. That's the most important thing, you know, when you go through something like that you have, you know, good support around you from, in terms of his teammates, and I'm sure his family as well. And that, listen, other than a couple of stitches, he looks like he's going to be okay. So, as you said, Dana, that's the most important thing, that the boy's okay. The manager's speaking about him. You know, he's in, obviously, training with the lads and stuff now, and, you know, be all a distant memory in the future. So, yeah, you know, thank God that Jack is okay.
Right, quickly, who's winning the Europa League tonight?
Spurs.
Okay, we'll see. Mark Kelly wants you to name the last three Scotland internationals to play for Man United and the last three to play for Spurs. For the men's teams, you've got Scott McTominay, Darren Fletcher, Phil Bardsley. You're done. You've got Alan Hutton and Colin Calderwood for Spurs. You need to give me one more. I can tell you who it's not. Gordon Jury, too early. Richard Goff, too early. Gary Brady, no caps. Jordan Archer didn't play for Spurs but has one Scotland cap.
It's not Richard Goff.
Can't believe I'm going to quote the man. He always says, Gordon DL says, there's always a goalie. That's his war cry on Beat the Pundit. It's quite a while ago. So it's the sort of very early 2000s.
Is it just Spurs? No, you can't do another Man U.
No, you've got the three, sorry. You've got the three, yeah.
Spurs.
We need a hint.
No.
Neil Sullivan?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's paid for Wimbledon as well, didn't it?
Well done.
Yeah.
You said
there,
didn't you?
I had no faith.
I had no faith in you guys wrapping up. And you did. Well done. All right, we're back tomorrow, Thursday night. Mark Wilson, Gordon DL. You know what I was thinking? I think we should put them through their paces. You know, we used to do these kind of quiz nights with them. I think we should do like a quiz of the season or something tomorrow. Let's see if we can get them involved. I think Mark's on holiday as well. He'll be delighted to touch down and then come straight in and do that. Listen, maybe they'll get their way and avoid it, but not if I have mine. So 0141 951 1025. Get it stored. Get us on the phone tomorrow and let us know what you're thinking. Maybe another day of speculation. Maybe the Rangers managerial situation will move on. Of course, we might even reflect on who's winning this Europa League tonight as well. So enjoy the rest of your Wednesday and we will see you 6 o'clock tomorrow.